Hello, everybody. Thanks for listening to the second funniest podcast.
The first funniest podcast will not be aired tonight.
Replacing will be second best. You can send us an email, podcast@justincomedy.com, or you can give us a phone call at 408-228-4911.
You won't be able to be a part of this podcast because it's already been recorded. Don't call right now.
I'm going to be at the Toledo Funny Bone with Derek Carter September 3rd through September 6th. September 13th, I'm going to be at the OC Comedy Spot in Fullerton. And the big thing, don't forget, November 4th, recording my second CD at Rooster Teeth Feathers. You can purchase tickets now. If you are going to come to that show, please buy the tickets now. It makes me look awesome. You can get information at justincomedy.com.
You always look awesome, Justin.
Aww.
I'm going to India.
I know.
So if you want to know more about that, you can go to churchinhollywood.com/outreach.
All right. But they can send money, right?
They can. I need to raise $3,000.
How do they contact you?
You can email me at kevin@thekevinmiller.com.
Enjoy the show.
/outreach.
Okay, bye.
He says wireless.
Yeah.
It's funny because that word used to mean radio. They still call it that in London.
Really?
The wireless? Yeah.
PJ and your backward people.
Harry Potter.
I like this song better because it feels like I'm adjusting my mic right now. Like we're not really on. We're just getting ready.
It's about radio.
Opening credit vibes.
Yeah. There's a montage. There's like water being poured into a glass.
Yeah.
Cars driving by.
Coffee percolating.
Lots of people walking down the street. A comet coming through the sky. And
radio stars dying.
Yeah. Just like a radiation burning their flesh. It's that kind of montage.
It's sweet.
Robots being assembled, walking down the line, grabbing humans by their throat.
Throwing them!
Bombs going off! Turtles flying from the sky! Dude, this montage rocks. And then flowers blossoming.
For the chorus.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But they're talking and they have sharp teeth. You can see it.
Stupid sunflower seeds. Their deceptive beauty.
They'll get you every time.
Oh, my favorite part of that was watching you in your own world. Like, I wish you guys could have seen him when he did the robots grabbing. He was looking down and he wasn't looking at me. The rest of the party was looking at me. He was looking down at the table and like, I'm in it.
I was a robot. And then I grabbed a human. If you're going to do a montage, you got to do it right.
You can't mess around.
Man, welcome to the second funniest podcast.
Yes, indeedy.
You won't get that kind of stuff at the third funniest podcast.
Or the first, for that matter.
Oh, they're above it.
They don't need montages.
Whoever they are.
They frown upon montages. They hold their noses up at montages.
We should decide who is the first funniest podcast of every week, because we'll always be the second funniest podcast.
Yeah.
So you listen to a lot of podcasts. Who is the first funniest podcast?
Well, that's what when you said the every week thing, that's what threw me, because my personal favorite podcast is Never Not Funny.
Sure.
I'm a big fan of that one.
I think you can give out an award and we could do clip shows. This will fill like 30 minutes. You're like, and the nominees are.
I would feel bad giving out clip shows of Never Not Funny because that's a paid podcast.
Oh, yeah.
So I would be broadcasting their show. Although,
yeah.
That would be kind of messed up, but a little. No, they wouldn't even think that was funny. I would think it was funny.
Just to rebroadcast
it? To grab their feed and download it and then upload it again.
I'm sure the lawyers will think it's hilarious when they show up with a cease and desist.
Well, that's the thing. I wonder, because I feel like they make enough money that they'll be fine. What could possibly go wrong?
Until it gets out that we're completely pirating. I'm pretty sure that's illegal. I'm going to go with, don't do that.
Not on the internet. You could steal anything on the internet.
That's true. Well, you can tape anything.
Unless it's a school paper.
Yeah, that's not cool. Kids, stay in school and don't.
That always made me mad because I used to consider myself to be quite the techno person.
Yeah,
and I never had the idea of. I got onto internet and email and everything for a nerd way late.
Yeah,
like I think I had my first email account in 1999.
No, you know what? It's only because you were in San Jose at the time that you think that's behind the curve.
Oh, really?
Because it was in San Jose, but the rest of the world didn't catch on until after the .com burst.
Oh, like 2001, that's when emails 2002. Became. Oh,
yeah, that's when things started actually. catching on.
My dad always had computer. I used to have the, he had a Tandy 1000 that he got at Radio Shack.
Did he really?
I can't remember what the name of it was. I want to say it was made by Tandy too, but it was a keyboard that you plugged like the old 8-track, almost like Nintendo 64 games, but they were much smaller. And you would plug them into this keyboard plugged into your television, and then you would play video games. And I guess there was other stuff you could do.
Those are sweet. We had a Commodore 360, or no, 280, something. And it was Commodore 64. It was Commodore 64. And it stored things on tapes, on audio tapes. So when you wrote programs, and then to store it, it would play it out like a fax machine to a tape deck.
Oh.
And then when you wanted to load that program, you had to press play on the tape recorder. It would listen and then load the code into the computer.
Wow.
It was the craziest thing in the world.
I don't. I saw this is. This is. I don't want to get on. Well, all right. Who cares? That I saw this documentary and it was hilarious to me. I can't remember if I got it on Netflix or if I saw it in a hotel. It doesn't matter. Again, the it was about like sex in the olden day, like sex at some point, but it was made in the olden days, right? And so these were
what are the olden days?
Like late 80s, early 90s, I guess.
I thought you meant like 1920s.
No. That
people doing the naughty. Yeah.
Putting a yip yap on style.
This little one got something pierced. Bet that hurts.
Ouch.
Man, I would watch that. I don't watch porn, but that doesn't count.
Because I've seen those in the, they have like those old school like Nickelodeon porno movies.
Yeah.
And for those of you who aren't aware, we're not talking about the network. We're talking about the original.
That's why I always thought it was so funny that Nickelodeon chose that name. I'm like, you mean the old school?
Because I think the technical definition of a Nickelodeon was just a little movie player, right?
But they had other things, but most of them were
predominantly
porn.
Became porn. Yeah. Like you would drop a nickel into it and watch a little 20-second.
You watch a girl dance or whatever,
But they have they actually show penetration. Like it's
Oh, not in a Nickelodeon. I'm sorry, you went back to the
No, in a Nickelodeon.
Oh wow,
they have these
oldie
timey silent. I watch a lot of documentaries on adult like sex and like because my favorite show.
We all have hobbies.
Listen, this is mine. My favorite show to watch, although now I don't watch it because I think I've seen them all. They need to come out with some new stuff. But is that Real Sex series that was running on
HBO?
They
still do those? What are they up to, 97? I remember watching those in high school.
42 is the highest number I've seen.
All they ever did was show people in taxi cabs talking about sex.
Yeah.
That's all I remember from high school when we stayed up late and watched Skinamax.
What?
Oh, yeah. And being a sophomore in high school.
I remember when I found that.
Really?
Yeah, I was 9 years old, and my buddy PJ, not PJ Olton, who was our good friend across the pond, although if it is the same PJ, I will be excited and disappointed at the same time.
Yeah, because he'd be fooling us the whole time.
Or if my friend PJ Sword moved across the pond, then I would be like, why did you change your name to Olton? Maybe it's because he got gay married.
I'm going to go with this isn't the same person.
That's a good question. I wonder if gay marriage is allowed in England.
I'm pretty sure you can Google that action.
Oh, let's find it. I was going to wait for PJ.
I don't know.
Your way is much smarter. My way was to wait for PJ to send us an email.
Before you get on that, you were talking about porn.
Yeah. We stayed up one night. And we decided we were going to try and see something that was on HBO because my dad used
to... Oh, you and PJ.
Me and PJ. And we were by ourselves. My parents went to some party and like they got us a pizza.
Did they go to the erotic ball?
Probably. Probably, knowing them.
Knowing your parents.
And so anyway, we found it and it was... Oh, I'll never forget this. That it was a Skinamax show. Well, first we saw Real Sex and then we kept bouncing back and forth between Real Sex and Skinamax.
You were channel surfing.
Yeah.
Softcore porn.
Yeah. And
high school.
I remember they were talking about vibrators on this Real Sex episode where they said that they used to believe that the way that they could make a woman infertile would be to masturbate her to orgasm. They didn't have like dildos like they have now. They have car buffers. It looked like this huge disc that would oscillate like a car buffer, and then they would just hold it down there and it would just...
I don't know much about the vagina, but I'm pretty sure that would do some damage.
I'm sure it did, and I mean it was covered in a shag carpet and stuff. I'm sure it didn't work in the same speed as a car buffer or something like that, you know, but it just looked like it. And I mean, even at 9 years old, I remember looking at it going, wow, I remember thinking that's going to be hard to emulate. And like if that's the expectation, because that thing is moving in a lot of different directions. It's got varying speeds.
I know I can't do that.
At most, I could vary speeds. Or go in a different direction.
Or
I don't think I could do both.
Get a piece of shag carpet.
Yeah. How am I going to tape that around my junk?
No. So the idea was that women would become infernal by they would become unable to
no,
be pregnant.
No, actually, wait, no. Hold on a second. I think that they would do that to Florida. They would.
The thought was that if they orgasmed, they were more likely to be pregnant.
No, it was the opposite. I can't remember if that was how they thought they could perform an abortion, or or if it was to make them sterile. Like
this was the '80s. People thought that.
No. This now was talking back in the olden styling times in her yim yam.
Well, there's an episode of Boston Legal. Have you seen that episode of Boston Legal where they talk about that?
I probably have, but I don't remember.
It's a highly documented thing back in the Victorian era, 1800s, where they doctors believed that women were suffering from hysteria. To relieve them of the hysteria was through this procedure.
I don't know what you mean by procedure.
That's all I remember from the episode.
You didn't watch the whole thing?
No, I had to go read the Bible. Close that. Open Romans.
All right, I'm looking to see if gay marriage rights or is gay marriage legal. It only has states. Let's see, same-sex marriage in the United Kingdom.
Survey says.
Why can't it just give you the information?
Gay marriage legal
same-sex
in the UK?
Same-sex marriage is not legal in the United Kingdom. Marriage laws vary in the countries of the UK. However, all of them currently prohibit marriages between same-sex couples.
How about Australia?
Since 2005, same-sex couples are allowed to enter into civil partnerships, a separate union which provides the legal consequences of marriage. The current Labour, and they spell Labour with a U because they think they're better than us, government has...
That's our U. That's from United. You can't have that.
Although they were the first United. Wait, they were Great Britain, huh?
No, yeah, yeah.
They became United Kingdom after us.
Far after us.
Get an idea, you guys.
Exactly.
Come on, our American ingenuity. We're brilliant.
Yeah, have you seen your cars?
We love our... They are weird looking.
Yeah, right?
And small.
I just don't understand.
How do you drive in that little tiny thing?
Why would you when there are...
And notice how it took us to make them smart.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what we had to do. We brought smart cars to the table. We said, we're going to take your clunky European car,
right,
and we're going to smarten it up and make it cute and sexy, damn it.
Yeah, and call it a smart car. You know, this is the point. Why would you buy a European-made car when you have a fine American Toyota or a Nissan made right here?
I wish I wouldn't have laughed and ruined that, but it caught me so off guard. Because for a brief second, this is how dumb I am. For a brief second, I'm like, does he know? No, he knows I'm an idiot. I am a dummy.
Man, wow, that's good.
Speaking of dummies, I think we're jumping topics, but who cares? We talked about
sex. We're done about gay marriage and sex. Sex marriage.
I was at this, I'm doing the Sprout thing every weekend.
You probably should define that, because I'm not even sure I know what that means, and I know what you're talking about.
I go around and I rush families through taking their picture with Barney in seven different cities across the country.
Why is that called the Sprout thing?
Because it's for the Sprout Network.
Oh.
See, the Sprout Network is a new PBS kind of affiliate. It's a digital channel. This is Talking Points.
So PBS?
Remember how we've all heard me say FMA was a hip-hop show about Newton's three laws of motion that was co-sponsored by NASA and Honeywell?
You said one time. Yeah. That's a B+.
Well, it's been 3 years. Here's the new thing. Sprout is a 24-hour digital, the first 24-hour digital network dedicated to preschool age kids. The programming follows kids throughout their day. So in the morning, they have a show that wakes them up, gets them energized. In the afternoon, they have educational shows. And then towards the evening, they have more calm shows that help the kids go to sleep.
I'm sorry, but as a parent, if I were one, I would be very annoyed, because what you've essentially tried to do is make us watch one channel all day long.
Yeah.
From beginning to end.
That's the idea.
Oh, my goodness.
And you know how we're going to do it? Because we've created a niche, motherfucker. I don't think that last part's in there, talking for it. Sure. That's me ad-libbing. That's what I bring to the table.
Do you do that with the families when they're coming through?
Yeah.
Wow, that's awkward.
I mean, only the black ones. I don't get that way with cracker families.
You just made my mouth drop open. We're even, my friend. You just stunned me. What?
You can't drop an MF in front of a white family. I don't care what market you're in.
Oh, I'm sure there's
But
some.
We were just in St. Louis.
Have you been to Kentucky?
Not yet, but I'm sure we're going near it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And when I get there, I'll know. I'll say, but I'll tell Joseph Bears.
But talk to the kids about it. Yeah. Be like, do you know what your mother is?
You might notice my voice is either, you might be thinking either A, Justin is turning on some kind of radio voice because it sounds a little deeper, or B, you may actually be able to hear through the compression and the internet waves.
No, you've actually repaired your voice since when I first walked in the door.
Oh, really?
I'm okay.
You sound
normal, yeah.
All right, good. So, but I lost my voice because it was 6 hours straight of me going, hey, look over here, woohoo, woohoo, woohoo. which I got made fun of because that is my noise that everybody heard every 2 minutes because they have babies that they take pictures with Barney. Now, here's the problem.
And the babies... I'm sorry, you tell it.
No, yeah, the babies don't know to look at a camera.
And you and the parents have to have the baby look at the camera.
Or even... This is the new thing that I've... I hope I haven't talked about it on the show, but I had I got in a fight with my wife about this too, but... This is my pet peeve with doing these kinds of things. Number one, okay, and I know this is the whole idea of why I'm able to pay the bills, you know, for this next couple months and everything. And nobody from the Sprout tour, other than the people on the tour, will hear this. You know, it's not like people are going to find me because I'm not giving my name out every 5 seconds or anything like that. Like a stand-up
tour
event,
or
you know,
because your name is actually on the...
On the tour program. It's Barney and friends, including Justin Horsham.
Right.
I hope so. Maybe I take it more seriously and stop dropping MFs to the black families while I'm on the road. But
that's twice that you've said it. It makes me think you actually did it.
I did it once. Awesome. It slipped. I would do stand-up, and, you know, I'm loosey-goosey. That's how I do it. And the lady, she got it. She knew. The baby was too young to know.
Like
but then
Barney.
The older kid, which was not her kid, that was her baby's daddy's kid from another baby's mama. Understood. He was like, please, you know.
There was a time where I might have believed you, but I've now walked through so many pools of your lies that I can finally, after years of playing mafia with you and watching you lie to my face, that I finally know when you're lying.
I thought that was exaggerated enough that it was clearly a lie. I thought that I bitted it up on that one.
Maybe that's how I know. Don't over underestimate my powers.
Oh, my mind is now clear. So anyway, these people, they come and they, I do this, right? This is, they don't know how long I've been doing this, I guess, but they get so wrapped up that I'm holding an 8-month-old. All right. Mm-hmm. And I'm a dad. So I will say, I'll go, okay, everybody stand here. Okay, perfect. And then Gina Rubino, who we've talked about on the show a ton.
Yay!
She's taking the pictures. My job is to get the families in and out, pose them, and get them to look at everything. So
Posers.
We had these issues where the baby isn't looking, so they think they can tell an 8-month-old or even sometimes a 5-month-old, they can point. And then the 5-month-old will go, oh, a camera. My bad, Dad. I didn't see it going on there. I was too busy thinking about where I was going to get my next meal. All right, smile with some no teeth, and then we're going to move on. But what happens is they point, right?
Yeah.
And then the baby sees the motion and then looks away from mom or dad and looks out at the finger, right? Yeah. And so, but then what mom and dad aren't thinking of is that when they move the finger back, they're creating motion in the baby's peripheral vision, and the baby just follows moving objects. So the baby looks back at mom and dad just in time for the wonderfully talented Gina to go click and take the picture, right? So the network has very strict standards on how these pictures need to be.
Oh,
I've been told. Yeah, the network goes through them, and they want to make sure that we're delivering quality pictures, because I think also some of these pictures get posted up on the network and
their
stuff.
Their definition
like that
of quality
is properly placed and all that stuff. They want everybody looking and all that jazz, right?
Oh, my gosh.
So what happens is I had to tell to multiple parents multiple times. I'd have to say to a grown-ass person, okay, you pose for the picture, we'll take care of the babies, mm-hmm. okay? You pose for the picture, we'll take care of the babies. The best example was we had this mom who came in, and they don't understand. Parents don't understand that when their kid sees Barney on television, he's about all of 6 inches tall if you have a great television.
He's also behind a piece of glass, keeps jumping around magically.
Yeah.
He's not a tangible thing when you look at him.
And so when they come up, they're all, it's great, it's fantastic, until they see that dinosaur lock in on them.
Yep.
And this is where I want to know, who comes up with these characters? Let's have a giant rat, let's have a giant dinosaur. I don't care how purple and green-bellied you make his ass look, it's a fucking dinosaur, dude.
Yeah.
It's a dinosaur with even longer arms. So if I'm in that kid, I'm thinking this dinosaur has hyper-evolved beyond just the little arms were crippling. He couldn't catch me with those.
Yeah.
This big one has almost human-length arms and is just 8 feet tall.
Totally capable of putting you in a bag and taking you in the back of a van.
Yes, and so
those beady black eyes, no one should trust them.
They don't understand that, and then they give him teeth. Granted, he's had to have some kind of whatever what they call those crowns
capping,
or capping.
Because
I mean, they're all
flat.
Just flat, square teeth. But he's got teeth because that's only bottom teeth. Is that because we've taken away his top teeth?
His top teeth were canines. They were all jagged chips,
and those carried all of the hunting instincts that a dinosaur has.
This is part of the montage. Giant Barney
removing all the teeth. But so anyway, so this mom, when the kid comes up, kid loses his mind, starts crying, right?
So I have a way. I tell mom, put their body in between Barney and the kid, and that gives enough distance where the kid will lock in on Barney, and then I could clap my hands and go, woo-hoo-hoo! And then the kid's like, what the hell is that? And Gina, like a freaking sniper. That's what I feel like. I feel like we're a sniper team.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting next to her, and then I call out the target, and then bam, she snaps it every time.
Cool. What is she shooting with?
Some kind of camera.
It's digital, right? You're not doing Polaroids.
Oh, no. It's all done with a can. Like, we give them a little thing that they scan, and then it gets uploaded to the internet, blah, blah, blah.
Fun.
So anyway, so we had this parent who came in, and then dad comes swooping in like, I got it. Like, the mom can't hang. I got it. So I think dad's actually going to do it because I'm a father. I know that there are things that I understand that my wife doesn't understand. I'm less emotionally connected to the idea of him taking a picture with Barney than, say, my wife may or may not be. So he grabs the kid. I tell the dad, left arm, you look at me. And he's locked in. He's like, got it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm like, dude, this guy gets it. Yes. Right? I get back behind the camera. What does he do? He points. He points right at me. And I go back to the dad. Dad, listen, you don't point. You just post. You smile at us. I'll get the kid. And I had the kid looking at me. Dad pulls out his cell phone and starts texting while we're doing
While
this.
You're trying to take a picture?
I get the kid, yeah. It's so funny because it was perfectly timed. As I'm walking back, right, I turn the corner. Gina goes, Dad is texting. Mm-hmm. This is what he gets. Click. Thank you. See you later. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for coming. Thanks for coming.
That's awesome. I want to see that picture. Did that get uploaded to some server?
I'm sure it is somewhere. Well, Gina. Oh, I forgot about that. Gina gave me a lanyard because she's taking pictures of me posing people and I'm doing crazy stuff. Like, that's at one great. Point, I was trying to beg this. This kid was probably 4 years old. He's a little older. So I get down on my knees. I'm like, dude, for me, bro, I'm begging on knees. And then Barney gets down on his knees and is begging too. So it's like, I think she got a picture of him and I. And then there's all these weird things that I was doing that she found a way. Because I found out she was scanning a lanyard. I'm like, what are you doing? Because we're just sitting there. She goes, these are for you.
Oh, that's,
I was like,
great.
What? All right, here we go.
That's
so
cool.
Then this other thing at the very end, whole event goes fantastic. At the very end, where, you know, as usual, you're trying to clear the character out of there, right? And then what happens? Grandma comes in with her little two. Oh, and she's crying. And that's how she gets me. She's like, let him through. Let him through. And my favorite thing was she kept saying, just let him hug Barney. Just let him. I support everything. I don't know what that phrase means. She's crying going, I support everything. Just let the boy hug Barney. Let him hug Barney.
thanks for your support. Back of the line, please.
Well, what hit my mind, and I'm glad I had to bite my tongue, is that I go, she goes, I support everything. I go, and in my mind, I'm going, except for rules and boundaries. Because there are a lot of people that are taking pictures with cell phones, having kids that did not get a picture with Barney, waved, didn't get to touch Barney, and they're all waving. But Grant, and here's the thing, as usual, if you are a parent out there and listening to the show, understand your child does not care about getting their picture taken with any character. And here's
unless they're a little older, like six-year-olds may care.
They may care, but they're only going to care because you put it in their heads. Yes?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Well, no, because they're going to see it. And if you say to the kid, listen, I don't think it's worth waiting in line for 2 hours so that you could get a picture with SpongeBob SquarePants, right?
Yeah.
More than likely, kid's going to be like, oh, okay. Unless you have raised them in a world to think that these little tiny things of... like, just getting that stupid picture are that important.
That's probably very true.
You know what I mean?
I will not be raising my child to need to take a picture.
Yeah.
That takes 2 hours.
You know, you always get these parents, and this event we didn't, but you always get these parents where it's like, you tell them. You tell my son or my daughter that they're not going to meet Barney. Or they're not going to meet SpongeBob SquarePants. Or
I have the worst event of all time. I was in Apple Blossom, Virginia. Uh-huh. And at the end of the event, we had a wonderful day outdoors producing a Meet SpongeBob SquarePants event. And it was a wonderful fair. And the sun is setting on this picturesque afternoon in Virginia. And we set the line up way far away from the actual character. So it's probably 20, 30 feet away.
Yeah.
And so I've closed the line. And so I'm just standing at the end of the line. Everybody can see SpongeBob as they're walking by through the promenade, but they can't get to him. And the families would come up with their strollers and say, I'm sorry, we're done for the day. Thanks for stopping by. And one father rolls up there with their stroller.
Is it bringing back bad memories?
I may cry in this story.
I'll hold you.
He rolls up there with a stroller and two women on either side and a little cute girl in the stroller. And I say, same speech. I'm sorry, we're done for the day, SpongeBob. SpongeBob has to go back to Bikini Bottom. Thanks so much for stopping by, but he's done. And he goes, oh, and he bends down on his knees and he whispers something to the little girl. And I was like, oh, this is very touching that the father's probably explaining to her in some way, somehow, to make it comfortable for her to understand why they're not. That's great. That's good fathering. He stands up, looks me dead in the eye and says, you're going to go to hell for that.
Whoa.
And rolls off. I was stunned in the moment. I actually choked back tears. I was so offended. You were working a solid 8-hour day, but, negotiating all sorts of families.
I was going to say, because you really think that this man has the ability to condemn you to hell?
Not at all. But as a man of faith, there is no greater insult than that. I honestly can't think of anything.
So you're saying you had a moment of like, oh, crap, and then you went, oh, wait, this guy is nothing.
Well, it just a matter that someone could be so insulting. Like, I can't imagine.
To me, I feel like that guy has a better chance of going to hell.
Absolutely.
I think I'm a nice person, but that maybe I am an a-hole, because that's what first thought in my mind would be like. No, I would. No, you are actually.
That's actually because, shoes on the other foot.
Yeah,
but I was so it was so painful. And these two women alongside him laugh like uncomfortably. That's okay, and they roll away, which proved to me that this is not something he says all the time. It's not like if you offend him.
Oh, Jerry's pushing people to hell again.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to hell for that. You're
pushing,
going to hell for
that. Is that a term that you're wishing is what I think I meant to say.
Pushing's fine. I didn't get it. Like when you push sync your phone to check your iMap.
That's what it was. Yeah. Push to
But the, he honestly believed in that moment because I wasn't going to let his 4-year-old daughter meet SpongeBob.
The last SpongeBob event I did was actually near my hometown in Merced, California, and I was at a mall, and this lady,
first mall they had ever had, right?
It had just been invented.
They invented the mall.
I love that your whole idea of the Central Valley is that it's like a biodome project. Like they're all Amish. Speaking of which, right? I know that maybe it's a religious thing, but what do you think? Oh, I just answered my own question. I was going to say, do you think that there are people that are like living like cave people type lives, that they're like knocking women over the head with clubs and dragging
them somewhere in the world?
Yeah.
That's possible.
Well, and that's when I realized, I think that's what a third world country technically is.
Oh, no.
Instead of wearing animal pelts, though, they wear the loser of the Super Bowl. T-shirt.
I mean, there's a big difference between, like, you're describing a primitive culture that's chosen to live in a primitive versus one that is forced to.
Yes,
exactly. Poverty.
The Amish have, they're like, we're making a point. We're not going to advance with society.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Is kind of their idea, is what you're saying.
They
but
don't
there
want
are other places. But see, here's the thing. I also think, maybe not so much in Africa, but I think it does exist in Africa, but more so in South America. Like, there are communities that live within the jungle that are completely fine.
Totally fine.
They live off
their
fat
land, all over Africa.
Trade. Yeah.
That look the same as they do in those movies, and they're aware of technology. They either don't have access to it or don't need it. There are places here in the United States, up in Montana and in the Midwest, that still look like they did 100 years
ago. And I know they exist because of their Twitter accounts. I read their updates, and every hour they Twitter. Because when they got no cable, they got a lot of things to Twitter. Oh, my gosh.
Just saw another rock look like the other rock. Might be going in a circle. LOL.
Had to kill my sister. She got a fever.
LOL.
Well, speaking of that, what does LMAO stand for?
Laugh my ass off.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, some guy sent that to me, and I didn't know what the hell it meant.
Yeah, and then OMG. You know that
one. Oh, my God.
And then OMFG.
Oh, my.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my fucking God.
Yeah, pretty offensive. They were
really? Just,
I think so. You don't think
maybe
offensive?
They're not talking about your God. Maybe they're talking about Dionysus.
They're talking about their God. Whoever their God is.
The fucking God. I think
Which
like
would
to
be Dionysus.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean.
Well done.
Thank you. That's what I do. I make everybody think, oh, this is okay. I take whatever. I should be a PR person. I'm a good spinner.
I don't know about that. You're pretty blunt.
Yeah, maybe too blunt.
Wouldn't you drop an MF in front of the parents?
It's what they needed to hear.
Yeah.
I get into the vernacular is what I... I make racial assumptions.
Radical racial assumptions by Justin Worsham.
Yeah. RRAs, as I call them.
I don't think that's an acronym for my I am-ing RRAs.
It is now.
Back to the parents with their retardation.
This mom comes up to me, and I close down the line. I'm almost done. Like, everybody's pretty much gone. She goes... She said, excuse me, my child did not get to see Barney today. We drove... I was in Merced.
Oh, man.
They drove all the way from Gilroy, okay?
Which is...
In the Bay Area, south of San Jose, right?
It's like 2 hours,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you're going to love this. Yeah. So, excuse me. So she's sitting there, and she goes, you're going to tell me when is SpongeBob coming back to my area, right? So thankfully, I had a laptop I could hook up to my cell phone. I'm trying to get on the Oasis page. And as
how
I'm
did
trying,
you, when she demanded of you, what did you say? Like in that moment? Before
I said, you know, I'm not sure if we have anything on the books. I said, I can look and see. I go, but that doesn't, I go, just because it's not on the books, it's not like we plan this a year out. Okay. The events come up. They're booked by cable affiliates. If you want to bring them back, contact your cable affiliate, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. And her response to that before you went to the computer was, you better look or what?
Oh, no. I told her that. She goes, well, I want to know. I want to know if there's... I go, well, I'll look and see if there's anything we have on the book. So I'm pulling up my computer, having a hard time with the website. And then she goes... I go... And then I realized... She goes, I drove all the way from Gilroy. And I felt bad because it was like a two and a half hour drive. And then I went, oh, I go, wait a minute. You know what? I said, all year, you could go take a picture with SpongeBob SquarePants on your camera at Paramount's Great America. I said, he's there.
Yeah, which is 30 minutes away from Gilroy.
That's 30 minutes away, you know? And I said, you just have to pay the price of admission. And she angrily said to me, she goes, well, I have season passes.
Wait a minute.
And I was like, well, then great, right? And she goes, well, I just, and she was just decided she was angry. Now, I've already fixed her problem.
Right. And what day of the year is this? I mean,
this is towards December. Like, so
okay,
she would
so
have,
she
to,
has
wait
to wait until the fall,
the park
until
open.
The spring. Yeah, sure.
So she goes, this is the same weekend when you guys did your meeting up there. So anyway, she goes, she right. says to me, she goes, I drove here 2.5 hours. And she's like, she goes, I think this is unacceptable that you would cut off the line. I don't know who's in charge of planning this, but it's unacceptable. And she goes, and I think you're being rude. I said, well, ma'am, honestly, I don't know what else I could do. I've done everything within my power to give you all the information that I have.
And the event is over.
And
that's the other thing.
Yeah, and I'm wrapping up. There's nothing I could do, ma'am. And then she goes, well, let me just tell you this.
Oh, no.
You better watch yourself going back to your car, because my boyfriend just got out of prison and he is not happy right now.
Oh, man.
And I said, excuse me? She goes, yeah, you heard me. Out of prison. And I said to her, I just...
This is over meeting a person inside a cardboard box.
Bingo.
That is painted like a sponge. This is what she is willing to threaten you so that her child can get a free photo with a person inside a box.
Yep. And not even a person. It's a wannabe model, which to me is less than a person.
It's the next level down.
For those of you who don't know, like SpongeBob SquarePants is this square thing. And we used to hire, because you can't contact a temp agency and go, I need someone who's 5'5 and weighs about 118
pounds.
Well,
you can, but you get sued.
Yeah, exactly. Not in a temp agency. But if it's a modeling agency, you go, I need somebody 5'5 who's 118 pounds.
They should be calling talent agencies.
Yeah,
but the truth
that's
there
what they do.
There aren't talent agencies all over the country. Like, you can't talk to one talent agency that's going to be in Boise, Idaho, and Medford, Texas, or whatever.
So we would always get these like early 20s model chicks that were like, this is they were trying to work their way up to being on the cover of Elle magazine. And so they come in all done up because they're used to being like, Bud Light girls or Coors girls or whatever.
And then sometimes they'd be both and they'd have to fight themselves.
And so then they would come in with their hair all done up. And I would love it. That was my favorite part to do with those SpongeBob, because I'd look at them and go, there's your outfit. Big square sponge. I got to wear that? And I go, yeah, it's going to be hot in there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Probably should wipe off that Mac up.
Yeah, it's going to just run.
Everywhere.
So what I said to this woman when she says, that's right, you heard me, out of prison, I said, I just want to recap. You're threatening my life because I didn't let you, because you're not going to get to take a Polaroid picture with a person in a SpongeBob SquarePants costume.
Did you say this sentence?
Yes.
Oh my God.
And she goes, yes. And then walked away. And this is also walking away, like with the thing of, that's right, I am out of here. I will not give you the privilege of talking to me further.
Right.
Which brings me back to a point I've made before on this show, is that always the people who threaten to not talk to you seem to be the people you would never want to talk to to begin with. Like,
I will be silent.
Like, I have family members that will pull the silent treatment, and it's always the people that I don't want to talk to begin with because they're the kind of people who pull the silent treatment. Like, you pull your head up your ass and take a look around for a second and realize there's a reason why why you have to threaten to not talk to people. It's because you have nothing else to threaten. You really think that you're that self-important that if we don't have you in our lives, that our lives are going to just cease to exist?
Oh, wow.
That's not how life works, jackass.
This is great.
6 billion people on this little blue marble, and we're all going to meet each other because guess what? We have Facebook now and Twitter. I could find 5 different friends in a heartbeat.
Yeah, absolutely.
In a heartbeat, because you know why? I could categorize all the people on the planet by what their interests are and where they live now. Like, it's so easy. Like, I don't understand why people would even think to go,
I'm not talking to you.
I'm not talking
You've got to earn my talking to you.
There's got to be people out there, too, who are threatening now. Like, the new thing of not talking to someone has to be, I'm going to remove you from my friends list.
Ah.
You will not. Because I have heard people go, you know what? I'm tired of so-and-so talking to me on Facebook, so I just blocked their messages. And they did it like, oh, damn. No, you didn't. What? Yes, I did, girl. I totally blocked their messages. I don't know why I make them all black women, but I feel like they're the ones predominantly doing it.
I thought they were from Modesto.
I can't do a toothless accent.
Well, the thing that bothers me about the Facebook and the passive aggressiveness is when people put super emo messages up on their Facebook status. Like,
what are super emo messages?
Like a very emotional emo. Like,
I was thinking emo like the music choice.
Yeah, it would be the Facebook version of that.
Well, you chewed it up on that phrase.
People put, you know, having a tough day, yeah, you know, on their Facebook status, and you just, it's supposed to be chum in the water of like, yeah, oh, now I, well, what's wrong? Yeah. What, are you okay? You've essentially like walked into the room of the world, sat down and gone,
oh, no. Oh, jeez. Oh, boy.
What is wrong? What? Why are you talking like that? Why?
My face exploded. I laughed my ass off, literally. Yeah. Oh, I think this is another thing, because honestly, when I see that stuff, I laugh out loud. I LOL.
You just put LOL?
I don't put it. I don't, because I know that's rude. But
you should, though.
When I see people going, oh, will this day ever... Like, right. That's not so bad.
It's the ones that are like over the top. There was one I said, like, oh man, really annoyed with work, can't take it anymore, things like that. Like, well, what do you want me to do, ask you in front of everybody on your Facebook about what's going on at your job?
Yeah, I saw one, because I always like how it says the name, so it's always the status update in the third person.
Yeah.
I love the what
I always write that in the third person.
They so it said, you know, Joe Schmo is doing their best not to cry.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that
that's
kind of
perfect
thing. And it's
I
go, I wish I felt more comfortable with the asshole stuff that happens in my head, because I would
10 years. Give it 10 years.
I would want to write back to them. I'm doing the best not to kick you in the balls right now. I'll give you a reason to cry. Natalie's telling us she's going to be right back after these messages. Everybody, we'll be right back with
after
Natalie
these
Hoffman.
Who's
That piece of silence was us listening to my frickin' wife again trying to tell us something that nobody can hear.
That's what your job is for, is to relay the message.
It's not a message. It's not your damn... Oh, I hate it. Get out. Go to Walgreens.
When is she going to understand that this is a professional podcast?
When we start charging people, I guess.
We are not in... We're not making an iPod in the dining room.
Oh, God.
Look at the dog. He's like, why did she leave?
We just went on a walk. Well, everything was going great.
The wall just absorbed her.
Isn't the time for her to leave.
You should be concerned. Okay, I'm just going to clean up around the baby's high chair.
No, so Natalie said people have actually gotten in trouble for updating their status at work while on the clock.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing I've known about it, you need to be aware of, I think people know this now, but like 5 years ago when MySpace was still a little underground, people, you would apply for a job, right? Mm-hmm. And there were employers that would look you up on MySpace, because it was before it was so secret and private. You could just type in somebody. And they'd have all these pictures about what their private life was about, and the status updates and talking about all this and that. And I know several people that said that they weren't hiring people because they would just look at their MySpace and be like, we don't want that person here. I don't.
One of the things I wish I could do was when I was going to audition for these colleges, they have these conferences for entertaining colleges because you could make a ton of money. One of the speaking things was that, you know, like, it was kind of fit in with, like, you know, drinking and drugs and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Well, what they did was
Drink drugs.
Yeah. They found these guys would go to the school, like, say they were coming to San Jose State, right? Mm-hmm. before they came to the school, they would search San Jose State students on MySpace and Facebook,
okay.
and then download the public pictures of them doing illegal activities, and then blur their faces, and then start running through this like thing of saying, "Hey guys, when you're doing this illegal, there like some people have been thrown out of school." Because of this, that because, and it's so funny they said, he goes, usually what we do when I do this, and he's got this like slideshow happening behind him of chicks that are like, they've got the, you know, the red fraternity drink booze cups, and they're just like, ah, I'll slosh. There are people puking. And while this is going on, he goes, when we do this, he said, he goes, we search for the school that we're going to. When we find pictures of students from that actual school, he said, these are pictures of schools that we actually knew were coming to the conference here. And so he goes, you might be able to recognize some students that you know even through the blurred faces. And they you know, because they had their school sweatshirts.
Yeah, totally.
And, like, and then he'll point, he goes, like, these are my favorite when they actually, they're showing school pride while they're puking on a curb in an alley somewhere,
oh,
you know?
Man.
Like, and there were chicks that were, like, flashing their boobs, so he had to blur out their boobs and their faces and stuff like that. But in the background, it would say, like, USC on somebody's shirt or something. Oh, it was the best. And I would just be, I would love to be able to make that point, because that's all it is. All that these, the schools hire them to come in there so they can make the point of saying, hey, because here's the thing. They think that they're making the point of don't drink.
No.
But in actuality, they're making the point of make your pictures private.
Idiot. Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's all they're doing. Because he's like, these are public images that I could get. I didn't even have to be friends with these people to get these images right here. You know. And I would love to just do, if I did that, I would just be like, look at this dumbass. Like, that's all I would want to do. I know it wouldn't be
aren't
funny.
Aren't you glad you aren't him? Everybody here agrees except him.
Well, guess like we found somebody. You can unblur that face now, Chuck. Because Chuck would be my road guy. He travels around with me unblurring faces. Yeah. That's
what he does. Chuck, unblurring faces since 2009.
We got him a business card.
It's just handwritten and Xeroxed 800 times. Perfect. Chuck,
I don't like the applications on Facebook. I don't
Well, they've all kind of taken a side step ever since the new like Facebook 3.0. All the applications are now that you remember when we first were on Facebook in version 2.0, when it was finally opened up to the rest of the world. Like, your page was nothing but applications. Like, you log on and you had everything. Yeah. Now all those boxes.
Everybody wanted me to bite them, and it was
exactly. Now that's all, and I think it's better. I like it the way it is now because it really is about looking at pictures, connecting with people, and talking about each other's status updates. I find that interesting to be able to see what people are doing at that moment and catch up with people. Much more cool than Mafia Wars or Mob Wars.
New favorite thing is I just block them.
Yeah.
Because what would happen is somebody would say, hey, plant this in my garden. And then I would be like, oh, all right, I like you. You know, so I'll do it. And then
I think I sent you a lot of plants.
Well, that's all right. I don't care. Because I liked you. So hopefully I sent some back. Because that's what I think the plant one was the first one. Maybe this was a wrong example to start with, because the plant one was the first. That's the one that pushed me over the edge. It was easy to not be a vampire or a zombie or a werewolf or pirates.
The plant one, it's so simple.
And to play
do.
Poker. Yeah, but the plant one, it's like, okay, I hit reply, send you some fucking strawberry shortcake wannabe, and everybody's happy. And then whenever I would talk to people, I can't remember who it was that told me, but I think maybe it was you, is that I was like, I go, I love Facebook except for these damn games that everybody wants me to play. I just want to hear about your life. That's why I'm here.
Yeah.
And why is it that makes me the a-hole in the bunch? I don't want to take your movie quiz. I just want to know what you're doing and then know that your life is good and then occasionally tell you about my life. That's what I'm looking for, weirdly enough, a real communication, not to build a fake farm online. Like, I don't want to do any of that.
Well, that's the thing that drives me nuts is that, you know, the gaming industry being where it is, games are ridiculously amazing.
Yeah.
Dungeons and Dragons Online, I've learned today, is free. You can play a free game that is on same par as World of Warcraft. Absolutely free.
Yeah.
And yet people are obsessed with playing these low res, no interesting, drop a JPEG on top of another JPEG and do the same thing. Like, the Mafia Wars game is hours and hours and hours of buying real estate and selling it back. Why? Why would I want to do this? So I put.
I'm surprised you even know that much about it.
I tried. For about a week, I was into it. I have a buddy at church, Jake Wagaman, who works in Facebook apps and stuff. And he says that people over at the Mob Wars know within 2 weeks of a person using the application whether or not they will make money off of that person based on how their usage is. Yeah. Because you can buy things. And the point is to get you in. And then after a while, they're like, well, if you do this.
If you send us some money, you can.
You can
it's
have
like on
an
World of Warcraft where you can buy things like tools.
No, you can't do that on World of Warcraft. That
well, you,
strictly
you were
illegal.
Saying that you could illegally do that on eBay.
Yes, you can illegally do that on eBay.
Speaking of which, Gina Rubino wants to make sure that you're playing World of Warcraft and not stupid Guild Wars.
I am not playing either.
Oh.
Yeah, I haven't been,
I thought so. I told Igo, yeah. I think he's playing Spore.
I'm not playing that either.
What happened?
I was learning Hindi. No, I was learning Hindi. I finished Ghostbusters.
Oh, okay.
I may get champions online. It was great.
I just finished Batman.
Oh, both good games.
Oh, Batman was great.
I have to finish Monsters vs. Aliens. It's a pretty good game. It's a stupid, based on the movie. It's
if I didn't know you,
yeah.
And I hold on. This is how it was going to come out of my mouth.
Yeah.
If I didn't know you, I'd be disappointed. That's what I was going to say.
I think I like that. You haven't played the game though. It's a fun arcade throwback with a lot of comedy. Have you played it?
No.
So shut up.
But whoa, really?
You play three different.
You know what else I haven't played? What's all that? Of these Facebook applications. But we just spent those 10 minutes bagging them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You,
I'm telling you, this
crap.
Game is fun. It's arcade based. It you're either the Gigantica. The woman.
This is the game that Ricky Kent told us took place in Modesto, this movie.
Yeah, that movie takes place in Modesto.
Do you see the water wealth, contentment, health?
No, that's not there. But the Rippin Tower is.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, you got me. You totally got me.
It looks like Modesto. And there's a whole level in San Francisco. You skate around.
Does it makes reference to Modesto?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right, I'm in. I'll play this game.
I knew you would.
How did you know?
Because I know you. That's why I kept telling you you would like it. It's arcade-based, and you're like, no, I'm judgmental. Judging Justin.
I bought today, because for whatever reason, I played this Arkham game, and I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was trying. I'm like, well, now I need a new game.
Yeah.
I don't have anything to play. Problem. So I sold a bunch of my games online, and then I was looking. I'm like, well, I was looking at what's new.
Yeah.
I'm like, nah, I don't want to play that. I don't want to play. And then I looked at my wish list on Amazon, and I realized there's all these cool games, and here's what Daddy likes.
What's that?
Daddy likes to kind of shoot 'em up, figure out puzzles games.
Yeah, those are fun.
That's what I like. So it's easier for me to find games to buy now because I just figure out, I want shoot 'em up, find puzzles.
Yeah.
That's pretty easy.
You should look, well,
common.
You won't play it. But Champions Online
is
a superhero MMOR,
oh, right.
And it's not the Marvel one. It's a new one, but it's also on the Xbox. So you can...
You and I could play online people on our Xbox?
Uh-huh. Yep.
Champions Online.
Check it out. The videos are pretty cool because the only superhero MMORPG that's been out till date was City of Heroes, City of Villains.
And that's the one I almost bought you at Circuit City.
Yes.
Okay.
The graphics are so bad and so old, and the engine's kind of old. But the Champions Online look pretty great. But Christian recommended the Dungeons & Dragons Online, which, again, is free. It's totally free. You can buy weapons and character slots and stuff. I was excited to talk about this all day.
Really?
Like, yes. Video
this
games.
This was a talking point that you
yeah,
had?
I wanted to talk about games because I love games. The other thing that's so funny is when we were in Georgia, we were wandering through a place that had discount everything. You know, discount movies and CDs.
Cars.
And, yeah, waffle makers. And they had...
I think they call that a swap meet.
No, it was
flea
in a
market?
Mall. They did have fleas. It was
Coke
Georgia.
World parking lot.
That's it. And they had... I was looking through. I looked at every single Xbox 360 game they had there, and I was holding the Indiana Jones Lego in my hand. I'm like, you know, I'd like this. It's cheap. It's like $20. I don't really need
why
it.
Why would you not buy it?
Well, I put it back because, and I'm so glad you said that. I came home and I was looking on my shelf, and it's on my shelf.
Yeah.
I own the game.
I gave it to you.
You gave it to
that's
me,
right.
Bundled with Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow. I am because I also had the Lego Star Wars that my sister gave me for Christmas, which I haven't cracked open yet. I'm like, I almost bought a game that I own. I do that with comic books where I'll forget that I own one. I'll go to the store and be like, and it's $3. But to spend $20 on a game that's already on the shelf, I would have felt pretty stupid.
You would have been angry.
Yeah.
How does that work with the comic books?
What's
because
that?
I've read, even when I was a kid, right, and I loved comic books, I would buy them and I'd be like, how do I, there's no, like, it would make reference sometimes to things that had happened before. Like,
man.
Why isn't it just a subscription that I can have them mailed to my house?
You can do that now.
Oh.
Yeah. With Marvel, any of them, you can subscribe to the house. But the problem, the great thing about going to a store and why we will always have a store is because everything will be in one place at one time. So you can walk in and look at bunches of covers.
Can I buy a season of Iron Man at once?
You can. In some
how
stores.
How much would that cost me?
The problem. Will be you'll run into the problem I'm running into right now is you'll be reading and they'll make references to other books and other things that are going on in the universe, and you won't have them because you're just getting the mail to your house, and you'll be so far back in back continuity, they'll reference events that you have no idea what they're talking about. So it's difficult to catch up with a comic book because they have
who is ruining this for us, and where can we find them? How do we?
It's Marvel, aka Disney. You know, Disney bought Marvel.
No, like this is not okay.
About a week and a half ago.
This is Stan Lee.
Yeah.
They bought Stan Lee.
They bought Marvel.
Disney bought Stan Lee.
They own all, and then they... And
is that what they're doing now? Or are they just like, well, we've owned it. We have most of the third world countries.
Now we're just going to buy
now,
all the other stuff.
What do you want to do? Let's buy things that rhyme with us. You know what, Chuck? I like your idea. You're Disney. Being promoted from Blurring Faces.
Stan Lee. I get it.
Yeah. Not Marvel.
I was like, Marvel, Disney, Stan Lee, Marvel. Oh, got it.
Well, they were going to buy Stan Lee tools, but they weren't for sale. So then one guy who in the mailroom was like, oh, I thought you meant Stan Lee, like the guy who makes the Marvel comic books. I'm like, well, let's go with him since the tools aren't available.
Well, the thing is weird because you remember when Paramount bought MTV, that seemed like a really weird purchase. But MTV had only been like 20 years old. Marvel has been around for almost, it started in the late 60s.
Didn't Stan Lee start it?
No, because, no, it's been
around
since.
I love how now
since,
I'm calling him Stan Lee.
Yeah, no, it's not Stan Lee, it's Stan Lee. You know, the first Marvel comic was Captain America or something way back in the 40s. So it's been around for almost as long as Disney, and then they buy it.
Stan Lee.
But the problem is that Universal and Fox are and Sony are distributing all the movies. Universal and Warner Brothers have all sorts of their characters in their theme parks.
Yeah.
I mean, the Marvel franchise is spread all over the place to the competitors, and now Disney owns it. So it's like, what happens to all these things? The upshot...
So we're not going to get to see an Iron Man 2?
No, well, Iron Man, thankfully, was made by Marvel movie studios, which, of course, is now owned by Disney because they buy that. But any of the Sony... Spider-Man was Sony. X-Men was Fox.
Dodged a bullet.
You know, I take your topic seriously.
I am taking this seriously. Do I not look like I'm taking it seriously?
Not really. But they can't see you. Oh. But the exciting part is now when you read Wolverine, he can like go to Disneyland and they can legally do that.
Like in that comic book. Kevin was reading a comic book at my house, I think after the last time we recorded a podcast.
Yeah,
or before.
Just before, yeah.
And it was all of a sudden Wolverine. What was it?
It was one. It was in Wolverine.
Who was the? It was about. Who?
It was about Multiman. But it was Wolverine just walking. No reason at all in the story. It had a full half page of this incident of them in New York, and he finds some guy selling scripts on the street, and Wolverine's like, "Where'd you get these movie scripts?" He's like, "I got my sources. You want to see movies too? I've got bootleg VHSs." And then Wolverine has this monologue about how it's unfair for people to sell. The products before they are released to the general public and then be judged. This complete sidetrack. And then as he's storming away in the comic book, the other character's like, "Do you feel better?" "You have no idea," says Wolverine.
So it was with the main character. Was it just some unnecessary C storyline?
No, yeah, well, Wolverine did it. Yeah, but it had nothing to do. Like, they're complete sidetrack.
We've got to go save the state of New York.
Pretty much.
All right, well, we'll have to start the Big Apple. Perfect. Okay. Wait, hold on. What's going on over here?
This guy
gentleman
selling
has a table of wares. What are your wares, table maker?
Pretty much. Oh, you read the comic when I showed it to you. It was good stuff. But the thing is, right now, I'm, I don't know why, but I'm so into all these comics again. And and I had a bunch of trade paperbacks.
You're not playing Lego video games.
That's probably true. I'm not playing games. I'm reading comics. And I've been reading all the books that people have been kind enough to, like, collections. You can get 12 comics in one book at one time. They look great. But there's one that when it ended on the weirdest note in the world, and then it just stops. And there's no other trade paperback that I can find that happened. Like, literally... I did the thing where you like flip the page. You're like, how is that over? Because the last page, it like cliffhangs to, and the alien did some weird thing, and there's an Egyptian god showing up.
So for you, it's like if you get a TV series on Netflix, it's like missing the fourth disc in the middle of the season.
Exactly. But except for there, apparently.
But you put in the fifth disc, and you're like, oh, I'm going
to
move on.
Well, that's the problem. I tried to find the next book. I'm like, well, okay, I'll just have to buy the next trade paperback because this book was published in 06. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm not going to find those comics. They're going to be way too expensive. And there was there was no trade paperback for it. I'm like, why would the publishers do this? Why would they not edit the story or make the ending work better? So all I can think about is why in the world there was an alien that crash landed on the planet at the same time as Apocalypse is Rising. Oh, I don't understand.
These are the things that can give a man gray hair.
This was the other talking point I wanted to talk about.
So. This right? Are we
this
in it?
Good. Yeah, this is great.
All right, good, because I'm waist deep.
Okay, good.
So we got to figure. Do you want to like brainstorm this? You want to gumshoe it out? What do you want to do?
Well, I want to buy that book. But it's like $60.
We're putting it out on the airwaves.
It's called Blood of the Apocalypse. X-Men Blood of the Apocalypse.
So let's just recap. Yeah. People's options for interacting with Kevin on the show is either A, to help him go to India, mm-hmm. or B, to help him get this comic book.
I think either would be very beneficial.
Right? I venture a guess that our listeners would probably be more interested in getting you this comic book.
Not all of them. Some listeners have been very generous.
Oh, really?
We've had a few.
What about PJ? Did he send you some pounds?
Not yet. He should, though. He can.
But what's a quid? That's the other one.
I don't know.
Do we know the denominations of pounds and quid?
I don't. I know what a canut is.
What?
It's from Harry Potter.
Oh. It's like,
what did you think it was?
No, that's why I had to. I didn't. It just came out of nowhere. Like
a canut.
For some reason, to me, it felt like a sex act that would cost a quid to get in England. That's what
a
I thought.
Quid is like $100, right?
Isn't I don't know. That's, I think so. Remember, that's what got us on the canut.
I think so, because I remember on The Office, the British Office, he offers his receptionist a quid to do something, or 100 quid was what it was, which was the
so that would be $100,000 or 1,000.
I think a quid was the equivalent of about
$1,000. Oh, wait, 1,000? You mean 100? So 100
quid was $1,000. Okay. I think. I don't know. Look that up. We have the intranet.
We do.
I'm going to check that out.
All right. You're going to iPod it?
Yeah, I have the internet on my iPod. Why do that?
I don't have any talk. Wait, maybe I do. Let me check my notebook.
Well, I have another talking point, going back to retardation of parents. Because you remember how...
that's right. We left that subject.
Yeah, Bill Cosby used to talk about how the children have the brain damage.
Yes.
This is a spot on Bill Cosby.
Yes.
And I think the truth is that the parents have the brain damage.
Yes.
Because they're the ones that teach the kids to do the stupid stuff. And when I was doing Blue's Clues back up at the great old Great America, which is now California's Great America. Wait, is that possible? How can California own Great America?
Santa Clara, I think the city owns it now, and then they call it California.
No, it's Cedar Fair. Santa Clara owned it in the 80s.
Cedar Fair just got rid of it.
Really?
I think that's what I heard.
That's so sad.
Yeah, nah,
so
really.
Now Santa Clara owns it again?
Let me tell you about how unsad this is.
Okay, teach me.
This is a theme park that when you and I started working there was pretty cool. I'm sure it was even more cool
mainly
before
because
we started
were in
working
high school,
there.
But
and then it started getting less and less cool to work there. Mm-hmm. And now it's, falling apart. And that's okay.
Well,
no, it'll make room. Because do you think it was that great when Marriott owned it?
Are they going to still put the Niners in the parking lot? Because that would be pretty sweet.
The Niners in the parking lot?
There were these plans to move the 49ers to the parking lot of Great America. You
never
saw
build
that?
A stadium.
Yeah.
I think what's happening is that the 49ers want Great America to fail so that then they could turn the whole thing into the stadium.
I don't think
they're
that's
just going to level the theme park.
I think you're making that up.
I just said I think that there are plans. I think that's what the plan is.
I think
is.
You're making that up.
I am, and I'm admitting that I'm making it up.
Quid is a pound sterling British slang for monetary currency, so it's like saying a buck.
Oh.
Apparently.
That's not impressive. $100?
A pound sterling. Yeah. That's
so it is the same as a pound. So a dollar is like a pound, and buck is like a quid.
They're still on the pounds. They didn't convert over to the euro like everybody else.
Well, right? Yeah, I'm sure they did.
I don't think so.
I think we're getting
the pound sterling, often simply called the pound, is the currency of the United Kingdom. Its crown dependencies, the Isle of Man and the Channel Islands, and the British overseas territories of South Georgia and the South Sandwich Islands, and British...
South Sandwich Islands?
Mm-hmm. Delicious.
What are the Sandwich Islands?
The South Sandwich Islands? Did you not know the Sandwich Islands?
No.
Are you being serious?
No, I'm being dead serious.
The guy who invented the sandwich, Earl of Sandwich, he discovered the Sandwich Islands? No?
I feel like I'm a victim of a bit.
Nope, I wish you were.
Really?
Yeah,
come Why?
On,
you don't like
read
sandwiches?
A history book.
Read a history book, how dare you?
Do you not know where the word sandwich comes from?
I know that it came from a guy who was tired of eating with forks.
And his last name was?
Sandwich.
Okay, so you knew that part.
But why do they have islands named after the guy? It's good enough that he has food. Why does he need more?
Okay, well, let's...
See, this is what's this is why we seceded from the UK, then the GB. That it's because they go overboard with all this crap. They have an idea. They're like, you know what? Great. We'll call it a Sam. I'm going to name a food after me. And then he's like, I want an island. Bish, please give me an island. Blah, 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 blah.
That's a really good English
Thank you.
Person.
I've been working on it.
I thought we were in England. For
I got the Rosetta
there.
Stone for English.
I don't think. I've wondered what that would be like. It's not worth the $250 to see what it would be. But
oh, that
don't,
would be great.
Don't think I haven't thought of it.
I want the Rosetta Stone for the Queen's English.
Oh,
that's what I
great.
Want.
English to Shakespeare.
What are they going to do when that lady dies? How does that work? And why is she there?
Well, then it becomes the king's. What
then
do you mean, why
King
she there?
Charles is what it's going to happen?
Well, probably
Charles
not. It'll be his son. Most people
William?
Don't think.
I hope it's William. That guy's dreamy.
Yeah, pretty much. Because they're not going to. The Sandwich Islands was a historic name for the Hawaiian Islands. And the Sandwich Islands can also refer to Manui, an island in the Cook
wait,
Islands.
Wait, wait, wait. According to Britain, they still own Hawaii?
No. I was just looking up Sandwich Islands because the South Sandwich
oh,
Islands.
Oh, I see. They're called the Sandwich Islands because they're sandwiched between the continents of Asia and North America and South America.
You know, I would give that to you just to end it, but they're the last thing they are is sandwich. They're completely remote landmass sitting out in the middle of the Pacific
Well, there's
Ocean.
A lot of veggies in that sandwich. They're the meat, and it's very little meat.
It would be a water sandwich.
It's like a Cuban sandwich. There's a lot of like mustard and pickles going on, but just one slice of ham.
No, I can't allow it.
But isn't that what they're saying? Why calling?
No,
they're not calling them the Sandwich Islands. As in the Duke of Sandwiches lived there?
No. Sandwich Islands. It was a historic name for the Hawaiian Islands. It was what they used to call it for a long time before the Hawaiians said, "You know what? The name of our islands are the Hawaiian Islands."
But why would they call them the Sandwich
Islands? Because someone commissioned by the Sandwichers discovered it.
Oh, okay. The Duke of Sandwiches,
yeah,
said, "Go find me some islands where they make." Elmer's
exactly.
glue food,
yep. mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then he made, and then they found that place.
You know what? Well, we're going to go with yes.
I take what you're talking about seriously.
I agree. I don't know enough. I know that this he was out there.
This is fun to talk about things that we don't know.
Oh, that's great. I know lots of those. Here's what I think about the
you're
political
saying
system.
You know what you don't know.
Yeah.
You know a lot about what
yeah,
you
exactly.
don't know.
You know, you really surprised me tonight with your, not surprised me, but I have a newfound respect for you. You're a
really?
Man that I already respected, but you,
yeah,
I have
I was
a newfound
say,
respect.
I think that's an insult, but to
no,
say
no, no. A
after
newfound
12
respect.
Years, I have a newfound respect?
No, a newfound, like
oh,
I had
okay.
a respect. I have more.
Oh, okay.
You were a man that I respected, and now I respect
so
you
So it's
even
on
more.
Me because I was saying that, so there was no respect before,
See,
now I respect.
Yeah,
that's
no,
not newfound respect.
That's not what newfound respect is.
That's an all new What you're saying is an all new reason to love me.
An additional reason.
I'm on board. I okay. love these things about me.
Is the fact that you're excited to talk to somebody about these ecological houses.
Oh yeah, we don't know. People on the show don't know this. What
I know.
Is,
that's what
I saw
we're,
a documentary.
Talk about it right now.
Okay.
You can,
well, I was hoping then,
maybe you can. You want
to
tell it? Later.
I would like to.
Maybe we don't have to
you know
tell
what?
It now.
I'm,
how about we not?
How do you
tell
say
it?
You've lost a found respect? Someone.
I think you say Greenland. You were Newfoundland.
I have a.
I was Greenland.
I have a Greenland for you now.
Okay, I'm gonna eat Natalie's cookie. You tell your story.
So, well, I didn't want to bring. It's okay.
Oh,
though,
we don't.
I,
don't bring it up.
No, no,
here's,
it's okay.
Here's.
Well, now it's rude.
No. It's okay.
Because here's what's happening. If yeah. it doesn't work out, then it's gonna.
Well, you could still talk about how much you
love it.
Love it.
So I saw this documentary called The 11th Hour on my way up to St. Louis. It's a.
How many of the facts are true in The 11th Hour?
I haven't. No, I haven't checked because okay. That's part of his. So what Kevin's bringing up is that this movie is a movie produced by Leonardo DiCaprio, and I know that it's, you know, that it's kind of like the idea of saying, you know, they make these movies that in my opinion are kind of propaganda-ish
ish
to say about global warming and about how, you know, we're destroying the planet and everything. Now I know it may not be the popular opinion. My personal opinion is that we're not destroying the planet in that the planet is going to cease to exist, okay? Yeah. And that's what this movie talks about. There are there are guys who think both ways, but they have a ton of scientists that are talking in this movie that say we're not going to destroy the planet. The planet has been around like they
we
do
don't have that
if
power.
You give the calendar year of the existence of the planet, right? Then the human species has been on the planet the last 15 minutes before midnight on the first year.
We don't even have the technology. I mean, if you, I wanted to ask you this earlier, the words destroying the planet, like the idea of like the Death Star of blowing the planet, we do not, there is nothing in mankind's current reach to do that. What we could do is significantly rape the surface of the planet and make it inhabitable for humans for a very long period of time in human terms.
Yes.
But the planet will survive because
well, according
the ecology
to the scientists,
will survive.
We could eradicate it completely for habitable human life.
Yes.
And
I
then
believe
they said,
that.
Now they said after millions millions and millions of years, it could reset itself and everything
and
would come back again.
It's got plenty of time.
Reset itself to be where, like, because there's a guy who, to me, that's almost like a funny theory. It's almost like the Matrix, where it's like it resets and goes back again.
But we've seen it happen once. We know that's what happened with the dinosaurs.
Well, that to me, because that was always my theory with this whole global warming thing, is that on Al Gore's movie, they said that if the planet gets hot enough, then that little circle of the currents of the continents or whatever with the ocean, if that gets too warm, then that will cease to flow, and then the whole planet will start to get cold. I'm like, well, dude, that's just the progression of the. We've seen multiple ice ages that that have happened. That's just an ice age that's coming. Yeah. And I would love for you to explain to me how we stop an ice age. Yeah. I would love for that to
we go to another planet. We visit Mars.
So the
Why we're getting the technology to keep ourselves alive when the planet does whatever it needs to do.
The point of this thing was that they were saying what we're doing is we're hastening. He goes, we have in the world
today. This
was
the 11th hour?
Yes. He said, we have in the world today, we have this misunderstanding that human beings are beyond nature, that we're disconnected from nature.
Which is silly.
And we're forgetting that we're just animals living on this planet. Mm. And that's what I was like. I go, now that's something I can wrap my mind around. That's something I think is great. He goes, and really all we're doing, and like they even had this like Native American guy, he goes, the planet will continue on. Like it's been around forever. We're just a simple part of it. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not even important to its existence, right? He goes, but what we can do is kill ourselves off. He goes, what we're doing, he said,
take a lot of things with us.
Yeah. 99. Well, they said 99.5% of the species that have existed on the planet Earth in the known, like, you know, fossils that they can go back and see, 99.5% of species that have existed on the Earth are extinct. Mm-hmm. So it's inevitable. Like the idea
is that
if this is our progression, then we will become extinct eventually. But what we're doing is we're making it happen even faster than what it might happen.
Interesting.
So it's like we're given this ability to where we can remember things, we can learn, we can build tools and all that stuff. But and through doing so, weirdly enough, we've become society based on consumption, right?
Yeah.
We're consuming goods and then creating waste constantly.
Yeah.
And then that turns into waste, and then we're destroying the planet, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So then what they said is what we need to do, and they boil it down to, which I think is kind of what Al Gore was, you know, going through in what my opinion is his piece of shit movie that they gave him a Nobel Peace Prize for, is that that it's oil, like it's the consumption of fossil fuels, and that the idea of that was that everything that we needed to eat and to exist came from the sun. The sun would grow plants that we could eat, and then we would also eat the animals that were also eating plants. Like that's how we sustained ourselves. Everything came from the sun. Well, when we discovered the use of fossil fuels, we were able to create energy where there was none before, because all of the energy we use came from the sun.
And then the point is that continued to develop new technologies, because of course, this house is not running on burning a gasoline tank outside.
No.
There's the hydro
part of
plants.
It is part of it's running on natural gas,
some of it, but now we're using other technology in order to continue to simulate the
and
sun.
This is the kicker to it, is that we have technology. This is what blew my mind about it, even though I kind of like it, just it was a connection that there wasn't before, is that we have the technology to harness energy from the sun and use that to generate electricity in the same way a plant can generate energy, right? So we have that ability, but what we've decided to do instead as a people is burn oil or coal to turn turbines and create steam engines to generate electricity, where there would be no necessity for moving parts.
Yeah.
It would just be these fields of solar panels that would gather the sunlight and then send them out into everybody's houses and their Xboxes and their computers and all that stuff, right?
What is their stance on nuclear power in this film? Did they bring it up at all?
They bring it up in the form of the waste, but they don't talk about it as like... They don't talk about it as being wasteful, and I think it's because everybody's kind of like, no, we're anti-nuclear power,
and that's a real shame, because that and I believe the solar power is a great technology, but it has a lot of waste problems of its own. Like those fields you're describing, as those things need to be destroyed, they create waste. Nuclear power is the most minimal amount of waste, and the ability to dispose of it is ridiculously easy. You just bury it in cement and bury it under the ground, and it doesn't go anywhere. It just sits there. No one can be harmed by it. But we still have this stigmatism.
Oh, really?
Because
I'm not aware.
Yeah, our culture is so afraid of nuclear power because of Chernobyl and because of the atom bomb.
Yeah.
Reasons to be afraid of it, but now there's still this fear that nuclear power is bad. It's not. The nuclear power on its own is clean, fast, very reliable, cheap, super cheap, but you can't say the word nuclear.
But I think maybe because the idea behind this documentary was that what was to try and say, we need to go back to the way of before we became, before the Industrial Revolution, and learn to live in harmony with nature. In that, and one of the ways we could do that is that instead of, we need to have a renewable energy source.
And that's,
so I think even nuclear power, you have to generate some material to then use to create the energy.
See, and that's the truth with any power, because it's the same thing with the solar power fields, because you still have to build something, and I guarantee you those solar power fields are not recyclable materials, like they're a one-time.
But I don't think, but I don't, like, that's what I'm saying though, is that I don't think those photocells are necessarily things that get cranked out and turned into waste on a regular basis.
Like, sure.
From the way that I was saying, that's why, so what we're talking about here is that I found a company that's in Los Angeles, and I just talked to their PR person, and they're willing to send somebody, or maybe I have to go to them. I don't know what the details are yet, but they're gonna, they say they want to have somebody on the show to talk about this new, the kind of what they're calling on this documentary, they call biodesign, where they're working in the idea, like they showed at the last 20 minutes of this documentary, all the things that could be done. So they showed an office building that had a tiered roof that had bushes all on top of it. And so the idea was, is that they would be using the trees and the shrubs to protect the building from the sun's heat, instead of it having to have like a shingle roof, mm-hmm. like what I have on my house, which is energetically inefficient. Mm-hmm. The wood, the, this house, you know, anybody knows if you live in a sunny climate or whatever, if it hits a window or anything,
just
but if
up.
You stand underneath a frickin' tree,
which
you're fine.
Yeah.
Like I walked under a tree today on my way to the dentist's office. There was this big, huge, bushy type tree that was above the place on Riverside. And all of a sudden it was like 10 degrees cooler.
And meanwhile, the tree's like, yeah.
Yes, that's my point. Is that instead of having to replace these shingles, if I just plant
a tree,
the tree is turning greenhouse gases into oxygen, which is what we need anyway. And then instead of it being where we're building these large concrete jungles, as we call them, if you put trees and incorporate the plant life into the building itself, then you're not taking taking away the tree, because the trees are what predominantly turn most of the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere into oxygen. It's a tree that does it, is from what they said. And they said where they're clear,
most of it happens from the ocean. From
The algae in the ocean. Yeah. But they were saying that on land is what they're saying, when we clear out forests, that at best what comes in is grass, but grass doesn't generate as nowhere near the amount of oxygen that a tree does.
Yeah,
is what they were saying.
Well, that's why.
And the tree also absorbs, like if they have, say, like there's a huge rainstorm that happens up in a higher altitude or whatever, and then the water comes down through the soil, the tree absorbs a lot of that water. I think the guy said it was something like 140,000 gallons or something like that of water can be absorbed by I can't remember what it was, but some tree or something like that. And so he's like, so that's why you see these areas of flash flooding, is that when it comes through, the trees aren't there to absorb it, the water through the roots, or to displace and break up the flow of it, and it just flows to the dirt. Dirt turns into these mud, and
then it goes through concrete streets, which just act like super highways for it,
and then boom,
and then here houses. And the thing, you talked to any of my family up in Oregon, which is a whole laggers town. They live in a laggers town, and they'll preach it till they can't breathe anymore. That trees are the number one most renewable energy source or material source. You build a house out of steel, you have steel beams and anything. Once you take the steel out of the earth, it doesn't grow back. But if you build a house out of lumber, you can replace the lumber. You go anywhere up in Oregon, you can drive around, you can see areas of the hillsides where they have younger trees and middle-aged trees and trees that are about to be cut, because they grow them like vegetables there, where they have a cycle. They just know every 10 years we take these.
Yeah. And they have the other thing, I don't know why that reminded me of it, but they have they go through while they're wrapping this movie up these examples of and they show all these images and actual examples of it being done, where they are lowering propellers, like what you'd see the windmills and stuff like that, lowering propellers into the ocean floor and into riverbeds and stuff, using the natural flow of current of water to turn these propellers and generate electricity that
That's
way.
Awesome.
So that energy source never goes away.
Right.
It never ceases
naturally
to exist.
There.
It never turns off. Because I remember when I was young and you drive
until
by the
Altamont. Until the earth freezes over.
Yeah, exactly. When you drive by the Altamont, you would see all those windmills, right? And there, some of them were turning, and so it's like, I remember thinking to myself, well, no wonder, how could you generate enough electricity to power? No wonder this is a, you know, a pussy-ass hippie way of, you know, powering the planet, no, you know? But in it, like, when, for some reason, it clicked in my head when I was like, well, we could use the ocean, we could use riverbeds.
Yeah.
And then they had, like, a house, and they, and where the house had a carport, that was a photo that, yeah. Now I can't think of, solar panel.
Solar panel.
So it was solar panels, and then they had trees that were on top of the roof and everything.
That's great.
'Cause that's all it made me think about. I'm like, what would it be like if I had, say, 6 inches of earth on top of my house right now?
You'd be a hobbit.
And put a lawn on top of my house.
You'd be a weird hobbit.
Yeah, so because remember the story I told about my dad's episode where I put the lawn on top of the roof, right?
Right.
So I started thinking, how difficult would it be to irrigate that? Because the grass is going to absorb sun a lot better than my shingled roof would now.
You'd have to
earth would be a great insulator to keep it cool and everything like that.
Wait. You know? Would be a problem. You'd have to make sure that's strong enough to withstand all that earth.
Could be that big a deal because
tiles are heavy.
It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be hugely thick. Right. But they put air conditioning units on top of roofs.
Then you'd also have to. You'd be concerned with concealant because you wouldn't want any of the water or the earth to seep through into your house. So you just have to make.
That's
sure.
That's what I mean. Like basically building a planter. On top of my house.
I love it
because whenever they landscape a front yard or something like that, they actually put stuff in the lawn to keep the water in like more dry areas.
Yeah.
You put like a layer of plastic and then you put the sod and you put topsoil and then you put sod to keep the water in there for the grass.
Let's do this. Do you own this place?
No. Well, here's what I was thinking about. Honestly, depending on what this person comes in, is that I'm thinking about trying to do this even though I rent this place.
On your car.
Because on my house. Not an actual like grass roof, but I'm saying put solar panels on top of there. I want to see how much
expensive
it costs because I feel like because that's the thing though. Here's the thing. Yeah. This is what it all boil down to, according to them, and I hope it's not propaganda because I really like the idea of buying into this thing much more than I did for whatever reason with the inconvenient truth.
Because it was a lie. It was half truth.
Yeah, and I mean, here's the thing about it is that regardless of my political views and all that stuff, it had nothing to do with my. I just felt like I was. I don't know, maybe I was programmed, but when I was watching it, I'm like, I feel like this is a half-ass attack on the Bush family.
Yeah.
That's all I felt like when I was watching it. The Bush family is an oil family, so he's got to come up, and they screwed him out of the presidency, so he's got to come up with a way of, instead of running for president again and winning, you know, or whatever, doing it that way, he's got to come up with another way to say, meh, and then we give him a Nobel Peace Prize, and then after he gets a Nobel Peace Prize, they want to show his movies in the schools in America, the country that he is from, and they can't put it in the public school system because they can't verify 51% of the things that he says in that movie. That's all it takes.
Can I just make stuff up? And
slightly more than half of what the content is of that movie.
I know. That to me was the best part where they even said, we just want more than half of it to be able to be proven.
If it's just a majority. All we need is a little bit of a majority.
And you can just cite a website. You can just point us to a book.
What about, I'm just wondering, is that why not 50.01?
What
I mean? Like,
I don't think it matters because I think the truth is it was closer to 20% or 10% of the facts were all fictitious.
Because I think they had, because here's the thing, Stephen Hawking is in this. There are all these people that were a part of huge federal commissions.
Yeah.
And they go back to like the Nixon administration and say that we signed into like the Nixon administration being pointed as being the crazy ass conservative that he got impeached and everything. He was the one who signed like a Clean Air Act and all this stuff according to this documentary.
I believe it.
And then it recently was just said, you know what? No, we can't deal with that. And it's because like the way that they I wish I could remember these facts better. But ExxonMobil.
Yeah.
Is the highest earning of all of the oil companies, right?
Okay.
And its gross profits are something in to the effect of like there's all these countries that they rattled off and said the money that this one company makes is more than the budget of this and these nations combined. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think they listed the U.S. in there, but the point was to say is that these people have a lot of money and they have a strong investment in making sure that their resource is what we need.
Right.
You know, that's what they're interested in having.
Because we're
to the point where we're pushed to where, and we live in a society that tends to lean in that direction where they're saying, and that's what I want to talk to this person about.
Yeah.
I want to talk about how hard is it really in their opinion from a scientific standpoint, because these scientists were breaking it down and saying we've talked about it. And he goes, it's just simple math. death. He's like one of the things I was telling you. He said, "Do you realize that in when John F. Kennedy was inaugurated as president, there were 3 billion people on this planet? So between 1961 when he was inaugurated, because he was killed 2 years later in 63, right?
Yep.
So between 1961 and 2009, the population of planet Earth has doubled.
Yeah, a little over.
Yeah,
because we're over 6 billion now.
So to And he goes, so you, if you look through history, like you just see this, oh, we're slightly increasing. And then all of a sudden, boom, you see this straight vertical line jump up within the last 40 years. We're going back thousands and thousands of years.
The
population was nowhere near, you know. And it's because of this ability that we have to feed ourselves. And so their point is, you can do all that. We can, and we can even have a better quality of life.
And help, because and countries, help those that are starving.
Countries that are starving are starving because they don't have access to fossil fuels because it's expensive.
Yeah.
Is kind of their idea.
Until they find it. And see, this is why I have a newfound Greenland respect for you, is that you did not just tote your party's line. That first of all, you took the time to watch the documentary.
Well, I always watch things I disagree with. I've seen most of Michael Moore's films, even though I think they're shit.
Okay. Well, then I take that part back. But that you watched it and then you that you were on board with it and that you're excited and want to learn more and get invested. The thing is, as I watch the news more now, all I see is fighting and backbiting between the two political parties. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Obama dropped that thing where he wanted all the classrooms to watch his video. And the Republican, and we were watching Fox or something.
Oh, it's wasting time. It's wasting our students' time.
And they were so angry. And like any, they were saying, you know, because the person that's in charge of the Education Council was conflicting with what Obama said, supposedly, which was that classrooms had to watch this and that children would be punished if they don't.
Yeah.
Whereas the guy that's in charge of the curriculum of the nation was like, it's extracurricular. We have this. Yeah. It's a thing. And the lady on the newscast we were watching was just like, well, apparently these people need to get their act straight and they're imposing these things in it. How dare they? And then weeks later, that Joe Schmo jerk face yells, "You lie," in the middle of Obama's speech. And now the Democratic Party is making all these steps in order to punish him and to yell at him. And as opposed to just saying, you know what? These are emotional things that we're talking about. I understand you had a moment of outburst. We would hope you would not behave like that in council. But let's move on. Instead, they're just everybody, both sides, constantly taking a chance or taking every advantage and just fighting and stabbing at each other. It drives me nuts about politics.
This is why we need a time machine. Because if we had a time machine, I think that it would be great for us all to go back and see and meet the forefathers. Now, I'm sure there's a chance that we would be incredibly disappointed by who they are and everything, because you know we have the heroes.
Well, they used
heroes.
To brawl in those. They had a sergeant in arms at the legislative because the men would get in fight fist to cuff matches during council.
Well, and because this is what I was going to say is that I heard today on the Adam Carolla podcast, Teresa was doing some news and she read a story about bestiality and that because she used to not be able to read these stories because the program director told her not to. Blah blah blah. But anyway, the story came up about how this person was having sex with a goat in the Philippines, but there was another person who is having sex with an animal that they use, a dog that is their like a seeing eye dog, but it's not a seeing eye dog. It's a more of a dog that assisted living dog or whatever they call them, where they get like they answer the phone and knock it off the receiver.
I hope this relates to this what we're talking about.
It does.
Go on.
It does in a way that. So what happened was that
if you just brought up sex with animals for no reason, I'm going to be pretty bummed.
I was thinking that we change the name to the Second Funniest Podcast and then we get heavier with our conversations, which I'm okay with, but I just thought it was funny to me. But anyway, so. So they're having sex, and so now what's happening is that they didn't know how to handle this guy's case because he was having sex with animals. Because there wasn't technically a law against having sex with animals.
Where was this?
This within the United States, right?
There isn't a beast. Well, the counties have different bestiality.
Yeah, like
laws.
It's a municipal thing, but it's not like on a federal level. No, say it's not felony to have sex with an animal.
I'm pretty sure that's not in the Constitution.
So when she's reading, this is the point of theirs when they were talking about it. This is what stood out for me personally was that she's reading it and saying, so now Congress is in session and they're working on they're drafting legislation to say to define the terms of, you know, how you should not have sex with animals.
Wow.
And I'm just thinking, this is what cracks me up about the world that we live in today. And getting back to kind of what my dad was saying is how disconnected we are from everything, is that we live in a world where I honestly think I would love to bring our forefathers here and just let them sit in on a meeting of the House of Representatives or on the Senate and hear them say, okay, so what you're saying is that I can have sex with a llama because you're defining them as mammals or animals, or what about watermelon? Can I have sex with a watermelon? Is it just animals? Is this what we need to...
Can they be dead animals? Can I go to the butcher and get a piece of meat?
The animal's not alive. Who am I hurting? I'm not hurting the animal. At worst, I'm only... And I know that there's got to be somebody on Congress somewhere who's saying, why is it such an issue for people to not have sex with animals? We can eat them because they're going to try and trump up their thing of, well, we need to have animal rights more prevalent in the, you know, the butchering of cows and things. It's like, we're worried about people not having sex with them. Meanwhile, it's okay to slaughter them, and they're going to bring that into the fold. You know what I mean?
I'm impressed that this is even being discussed.
That's what I'm saying. Shouldn't be.
Biblically, it is. I mean, according to the Bible, it does pretty clear about being anti-bestiality.
Okay, so this is my point, though.
Right.
A document that was written, I don't even know how long ago, right, to govern people then, right, is like, we still, like, don't you think at some point we should be beyond that?
Are you defending bestiality?
No.
Okay.
Maybe, because here's what I'm saying. I don't know if I think that... I know that I think that it should not be I should not be paying 30% of my fucking income so some asshole in Washington, D.C. can argue what is technically fucking an animal and what makes it illegal.
Right,
all right?
Right?
I know that. I disagree with that. But at the same time, I don't know. I just feel like... I know that I wouldn't want to do it, right? Mm-hmm. I get part. Yeah. But I just feel like, why is it that we are at war? We are fighting a war. There are men dying to defend the freedom of a country that is worrying about governing people fucking animals.
Yeah.
Like, that to me, that's what's blowing my mind.
And
at the same time, to finish it, was that I don't think that it should be government's job, because I just feel like you can't govern everything.
Right.
Right? There are going to be wackos who are going to be boning animals.
Not in this country. Now, if we were in, say, the Vatican, which is the only example I can think of, because it's the country that all agrees that that is the religion, the Catholic religion. We agree that what we all agree morally is the same thing that we agree with legislatively.
I get what you're saying.
But here in this country, we've agreed that many
Separate.
Yeah. Not so much that it's separate, but that we allow many different moral codes in order to be...
Well, that's the idea. The idea is that the religion is supposed to be separate from the government.
Right. That's nowhere in any document, that's not in, like, the Constitution or the Bill of Rights.
I thought there was a separation of church and state.
No, that is... Actually, it's not. See, it's a common thing that we've accepted within our culture to believe, but it's not written anywhere that there's a separation of church and state. It's just something we've developed over time. Much like the idea that we only use 10% of our brain. That's also not true.
You use
100% of your brain. Okay, hold on. Sorry, I opened that door.
You mean for storing information.
No. The idea that we use 10% of our brain is ridiculous. You use 100% of your brain. Otherwise, when you got into a car accident and you got hit on the head, it wouldn't matter because you're not using 100% of your brain.
No. Well, that's what I've always banked on. Whenever I fall, I'm like, I hope this is the 90.
This section, no.
That's what I try and decide. What quadrant is the 90% I'm not using?
You use 100%
of
your brain.
In my opinion, I think that the use of my brain is spread out like the landscape of Los Angeles.
Right, right.
There's a lot of big areas, and some cities are more important than others. And so, like, say, an area like Corona, that's not a place that I use my brain. So I want to fall on Corona. I want to shit all over Corona or Temecula or
some
place like that.
But that's not true.
The valley is where I keep all my dirty thoughts.
back to this. Separation of church and state. Oh, that we have... That these things are not the things that I feel that our government should be spending their time on.
Yes.
Things that are so benign such as this. I do believe that we should not be having sex with animals, but there are far more important issues that we could be dealing with than trying to push this through legislation.
Yes.
And if we all agreed, if we were all in, like, if I were within my church community and we found out somebody was having sex with animals, we'd probably sit down with that guy, or a couple people would, and be like, you know what, this isn't a good idea. But we do not live in a country where those sort of laws need to be passed. Plus, I thought we had this covered. I thought this was... Are you still there?
Or yeah, I'm listening. Over there? I'm listening.
Are you booting up the sound?
No, I'm coming up with something that about what you're talking about.
I was 100% of your brain?
No. I went back to the first thing because I could have sworn that it was in the First Amendment, and this is Wikipedia, but it says that the concept of using the term church and state is not technically in the
right.
But it says that the separation of church and state is a legal and political principle derived from the First Amendment to the United States Constitution, which reads, "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof." So instead, saying that government has no power over religion here in America.
But that's not the same thing as this idea of separating church and state, where actually the other way around, where the religions can impose laws upon us. That's what people usually use that word to describe. That law is actually saying the opposite.
People get the whole thing of, because I do think it's valid where people say the thing, well, we shouldn't be saying under God in the Pledge of Allegiance, you know, like that kind of thing. But it's like, well, it's all over the currency too.
Yeah.
And it's because, I mean, the reality is we're a democracy and we're a predominantly Judeo-Christian society. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, there's a bajillion denominations of that, but that's where we are. And, you know, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, in that sense, yes, I did. I'm sorry. I tuned out on what you were going for.
That's okay. Are we done with this podcast? This is politically charged.
Oh, yeah. We're at an hour 30.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. But I feel like we just started on something. We should wrap that up at least.
Which one?
Well, what we're going on about the bestiality. Do we feel like
we're
wrapped
good.
In? You feel good?
Yeah. My point is this, that, this is an issue that I have as a Christian in general. And I feel like I may have mentioned this before, which is that,
you know what I need to do?
What's that?
I need to find somebody who's a bestiality advocate. I think we need to give fair share time or whatever it's called.
You know, it's so funny because this is the example that a lot of, yes on Prop 8 people say, which is that, okay, if you allow homosexuality, right? You've heard this. Yes. Then the next step is, well, what, can I marry a dog? Can I marry a plant? Can I marry a bridge? And these sort of things.
I wish we could set those people on fire. That's what I wish. If you really think that's the same thing,
but
that's
the point with their argument, that the problem is the moment you can't agree on where that moral line is, now everything is fair game. And there are people.
I see what you're saying. So you're saying that me saying that bestiality is wrong is no different than having a same moral standing of saying that. Because here's the thing. My point here's then this is where we need to wrap it up for me
before you get angry.
No, I'm not angry. It's that my point isn't to say that I think that it's wrong for like that bestiality is wrong. I think it's here's my thing. Yeah. I don't think it should be a law. Okay,
right.
That's what I'm saying. And I don't care if some dude in the middle of wherever. I don't care if he's in San Francisco and he's got a pet goat and he wants to hump it. I don't care. It's an animal. Yeah. Like that's where you know PETA can get involved and everything like that. And this is where Adam Carolla broke it down on his show, where he's like, he goes, I know that bestiality is wrong and all that stuff. He goes, for me personally, he goes, the part that I don't like is where they make the animal into the victim. He said, as far as I know, he goes, there are animals that are getting butchered. There are animals that pull carts for a living,
right?
And that's what they do. And he goes, so if there's an animal out there that's having some sex, last I know, they all really enjoy it. So if we're gonna take away their ability to have an orgasm, then that's not okay by me. That's not the he didn't say this, but this is what I would add to this, that that's not the America that I believe in, and that's not the America dream. The America dream is that you should be able to have sex when you want. It's pursuit of happiness. It's written right in there.
Well, they can't pursue it if they're being forced on it, but I think you're right. I mean, the things you make that cat do.
Maybe it's that whole consequence thing. Yeah. It's like the secret. Maybe the animals are looking for owners who will hump them because they crave the sex.
Are you playing me off? I had one more point.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Dare you.
I was. I thought we had a joke and we were finishing up. So.
Okay, we can be done.
No, make your point.
Here's my point.
And I'll make fun of it.
Okay, fair enough. That I agree with your point, that I don't believe that there should be a law about these things. But here's the deal. As long as we live in a democracy where I am handed a ballot that says, how do you believe that we should vote on things morally?
Yeah, we talked about this on the way there.
Did we? Yeah. That I am going to vote according to what
your beliefs are.
Exactly. For as long as those things are
in front. Yes.
It's my responsibility under God's eye. It's my responsibility to my government.
Because if we were a society that all of a sudden decided that predominantly bestiality was the thing and you were in the minority.
Yeah.
Right. So if I'm like, no, I should be able to hump my dog and my cat. I should be able to have a three-way with my dog or a four-way and swing with my dog and cat and my wife if I so desire. That's what I should be able to do because I am free here in America. And, you know, here's their loophole. They just make it a religion.
Yeah,
that's a constitutional amendment. They can just make it a religion and you can hump all the animals that you want.
Oh, man. You,
boom.
My mind is now clear.
It should be. It should be.
Play me off, Jimmy.
Oh, I thought I hit play and I didn't.
Oh.
But yeah, speaking of that, this is a request going out to all the animals out there who are looking for love.
In all the wrong places.
This is a little classified ad,
man, when I worked
personal.
When I worked at Roundtable, this song would play randomly at different times on the jukebox. So you're taking me back to Rolling Dough and slapping some.
But what I want to take you back is I want to take you back to the people that are out there looking for a good animal.
I want to talk about pizza.
That they want to love. They want to love them. And they want those animals dead or alive.
She locked out? Okay, bye.